Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about why your partner may be rejecting your sexual advances and how to get a better understanding around it. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include rejection, how to make it sting a little less, and hopefully to a place of better understanding. You love nipple play, but your partner is so not into it post-baby. What gives? You want to give your partner more sexy surprises in bed, but your past has you feeling super nervous about it. What do you do? And how do you handle having different stress responses when it comes to sex? All this and more. Thanks for listening. I want to tell you about one of the oldest and most trusting relationships in my life. It's probably the only one that's like never really let me down. I'm talking, of course, about the magic wand. I mean, the magic wand was a big part of my life, even before I started the show. And it's not going anywhere in my life or anyone else's. I mean, you want to know why? The magic wand has been delivering pleasure for 50 years. That's a long time. And it's still the best-selling massage wand in the world. I think it has something to do with all that power. I mean, they don't call it the Cadillac vibrators for nothing. Whoa, it's a good one. And even though it's not easy to improve on something so timeless, they did it again with the latest version called the Magic Wand Plus, and it is awesome. So like the original, the Magic Wand Plus is a full-size plug-in massage wand. It features a soft silicone head, easy-to-use controls, and variable speed that lets you go from a low rumble to OMG with the push of a button. And if you don't have a magic wand in your life, trust me, you should. There are now three models to choose from, original, rechargeable, and the all new Plus. You can see them all and get one for yourself at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/magicwand.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, and you can find us on all social media. It is Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. So for each show, I start off by setting an intention for the show, and I hope you guys will do the same. So what I mean is, when you're listening right now, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? And maybe it's, wow, when I heard this show was about rejection, I know that I could react better when my partner turns me down for sex. Or maybe it's just, I feel like I could learn how to deal with rejection better in all areas of my life. My intention is to help you find a little bit more understanding for each other. You know, think about it. If your partner's not in the mood for sex, not to blame yourself. How can you react better? How do you stay in the mood and let your partner down gently? We don't want to hurt our partner's feelings, do we? I think we don't. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. All right, guys, let's talk about sex rejection and how to get past it. So I'm here with producer Jamie because this really comes up. Hi, Jamie. This comes up all the time that, you know, we're not always going to be in the same sexual space as our partner. In fact, mismatched libidos or desire discrepancy is probably one of the most common challenges in relationships. So just because your partner rejects you or they're not in the mood for sex for a night or for a while, you know, people get rejected sometimes over and over. Mm-hmm. They have their reasons for it. But sometimes we don't even realize that we're hurt by our partner's rejections. And then we start blaming ourselves and we think we did something wrong and it becomes a mess. So I want you guys to learn something today about what it might mean when your partner says no to sex or when you say no to sex. Help you break it down.
Yes, because I think we're all really bad at doing that for the most part. How do you say no to something and then? Because no just feels like such a strong word.
It is, right? It's no. It is a strong word. And we feel like if I say no, especially if we're pleasers, we just think, oh, I'm just going to keep saying yes. So I don't want to hurt their feelings. But listen, guys, there are ways to actually, there's a way to say no that isn't going to suck.
It's true. No doesn't have to suck every
time. No doesn't have to suck. So maybe like, okay, so maybe your partner is overworked, exhausted, or just completely stressed out. And People often complain their partner doesn't want sex because they're too tired. But hey, we work demanding jobs. Some of us really work hard. Plus, we're parents. Then we come home and we got to take care of the kids. We got to cook. We got to clean, which is also tiring. And then there's when there's big changes. Like sometimes it's like a big change and they're like, I'm just working late. I'm working a lot more jobs. I've got a second job. Now we have kids. And then that changes. So it just can feel impossible, insurmountable. Like, how do I get in the mood for sex? How do I do it if my partner...
It's like you can't always turn your brain off either. Like sometimes there are other things pressing on your mind. You're like, I would love to have sex right now, but I'm thinking about all of these things.
There's a million other things going on. Believe me, you know, yeah, I do. So like, let's say you're this tired, stressed out one. I think the important thing is if you know, you're like, oh God, this is my partner's going to want sex right now and I don't, what do I do? I think the most important thing is to let them know that it's not that you're just tired or avoiding them or you just say no and keep your headphones on and avoid them. Let them know that you would like to have sex. Let them know when. Maybe you guys could plan it for a few days from then or on the weekend, but that you, it's not anything to do with them, but your body, your mind, whatever's going on, you don't have the energy for it. I think it's important to explain why we say no.
Yeah, instead of just being like, no, I'm stressed out, like give them under, why, okay, so I'm stressed out, but here is what's making me stressed out. Or in sometimes even the ability to vent might make you feel better and maybe you will be in the mood after that.
Exactly. Sometimes just talking it out makes us feel better. Okay, if you're getting rejected, understand where your partner is coming from, right? So maybe they, you know, if they tell you that they're really stressed out or they're anxious about something, maybe if you try to help more with tasks that would make their life easier, surprise them, give them a relaxing massage or a bath, and then try to have sex in the morning when they're rested.
Right? Why not?
Instead of taking the pressure off of someone and just saying, it's okay, I'm here for you. I want to help out. Let me do something. Will actually be just the thing they need to come back around.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing is, you guys, being asked in the wrong moment and taking a sincere not right this second as a blanket no.
Mm.
Now, this is a big one because sometimes we mean no, not right now. Let me finish up with something. Or we just, you know, we need a different kind of approach and we say, no, not in this moment. So sex can't be spontaneous. And if someone's in the mood and the other one isn't, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. So maybe your partner is in the middle of like, pay attention. If they're cooking dinner, finishing up emails, texting, and you come over, you start kissing them, you're turned on, you're like, I want to have sex right away. They might not be ready yet. Doesn't mean that they're never going to be ready or they might not be ready in a few hours. But sometimes we take it as like a no, my partner always rejects me. And then we make it a bigger thing. And then we go to bed unsatisfied. When really what could have happened is you could have just waited to have sex. Maybe your partner needed 15 minutes to finish dinner. You know, maybe she said no or he said no. And then you got offended and then things were just shut down. So if you're asked in the wrong moment, even though this can be hard, if you're in the middle of the task, you might be like, no. But make it clear that you're doing a task and you'll be ready for sex when it's finished. So you could say like, I don't want to be distracted, babe. It'll be so much better afterwards. Or give me 15 minutes. Give me half hour. Or even give me till tomorrow morning. Like, it's okay to reassign it, but let your partner know it's not. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, that it's not a blanket no, because these things fester. Like, people yes. get rejected and they've, you know, they just remember that one time they got all sexy and dressed up and their partner didn't really see them. Or, and it's because their partner was busy. And they didn't feel accepted and they stopped making efforts. So I think the clearer we can be in the moment of saying no, the better.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm even me who wants to have sex mostly all the time, if I'm doing something, like if I'm cleaning and you are trying to have sex with me right then and there, I'm just gonna be like, I need to finish this task that I am visibly doing. Please go wait for me in the bedroom. Right. You can start without me.
Exactly.
I will be there eventually.
I'm down with you starting. It's a good thing, right?
You know?
Yeah.
But then people are like, no, she said no, and now I'm mad.
Right.
Or he or she.
Well, right. Well, if you're the one getting rejected, try to see it from their perspective. How being interrupted in the moment wasn't the best thing, wasn't the best time. And that if you're patient, you're probably going to end up having sex anyways. So it's almost a matter of being present and catching our responses, catching our reactions that kind of get us upset.
Yeah, not getting hung up on yourself to like, oh, I asked them in the wrong moment and now I feel bad about myself and now everyone feels bad. It's more about like, oh, you know, if I had thought about it, she or he is doing this task. If I was doing that task, I probably wouldn't want to be interrupted
right.
either.
Really being able to see it from the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could walk in their shoes for a day. Okay, partner's body has been made fun of or it's changed and they're not comfortable being naked. This is another reason why we don't want to have sex. You know, you guys, I hear this all the time. We feel like we have saggy breasts, or our labia is too long, or we've gained too much weight, or our penis is too small. We've got stretch marks, feeling loose after childbirth. You know, it's really hard to forget all these things when we are being approached for sex by our partner. So, and we get self-conscious. And so I think if, you know, if we're the one, if we're walking around with all these insecurities, because we often get callers in the show, they're like, how can I get my wife to feel beautiful? We had someone calling the other day. Mm-hmm. It's like, a lot of it really is an inside job that we have to like learn to love ourselves, even if we're trying. So if you have the insecurities, you know, remember that your partner loves you and they're attracted to you and they're with her for a reason. They don't, people don't see our flaws the way we do.
It's hard to forget.
Flaws.
It's hard to forget that, like, not everyone is seeing, like, because if you ever had a zit on your face, you're like, oh my God, I have this huge zit. And then the person you told that to is like, I didn't notice until you told
me. Yeah, and now it's, I can see your zit. Exactly. This is what happened. Exactly the point. Listen, they're naked with you. They're in bed with you. They're probably turned on. And confidence, we always hear time and time again, is the sexiest thing in the bedroom. So if you could learn to kind of even practice it in the mirror, move past whatever your insecurities are, like learn to love the parts, or at least learn to accept the parts of yourself that.
Yeah, acceptance is, doesn't acceptance have to be positive.
And that acceptance. Acceptance. And then that can turn to full on confidence. Then if you're getting rejected, you know, it does help to compliment your partner, reassure them, let them know how attractive they are to you. And think about things before you say them. If you have said something like, yeah, I can tell. Or maybe you should go to the gym more. Or yeah, you know, if you've been the one criticizing them, that's going to feed into it. So mm-hmm. if you can find a way to kind of come back from that, counteract that, talk to your partner, explain to them where it might have come from, maybe that could help them feel better.
Because sometimes we do, we also make these little nonchalant comments that aren't even to us. It well, wouldn't be an insult. Thing. But because that's an insecurity of someone else, they fixate on that. And you might not even remember you said anything.
Well, that's the thing. And we hear things, we remember that. I mean, you could, it's okay to say to your partner, well, I remember one time you told me that you've never seen a labia like mine before. And I took that to mean that it wasn't natural or normal and that you hated it. And then maybe this gives your partner, oh no, I didn't mean that. I just meant it was unique, or I meant it was, I mean, I think the more we give light to the things that we are keeping in the dark, the more we grow, mm-hmm. healthier we become. Another reason we might not want to have sex is pain. Either sex is actually causing us pain, or we're just in pain in general. And we're like, yeah, like your back pain. I don't want to have sex with my back hurts, right? So 80% of women, though, experience pain during sex at some point in their lifetime. And that's a pretty high percentage. Some women have it all the time. Some women just, you know, now and then. And then we normalize it. And we're like too embarrassed to tell our partners, well, wow, I've got some pain. So they make up another excuse. And so I think if you're in pain, you got to let your partner know that you are in pain and that you're going to try to figure out some solutions together. Remember, you're both mm-hmm. in this sex game together. And you don't have to live with pain during sex. Maybe it's seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist, getting checked out, figuring what it is. So you can start to rebuild and actually have sex that's not painful. If you're getting rejected, understand that you got to be patient and that you're going to work with them on getting, you know, getting the problem solved, like figuring out how they can manage pain. You know, when we're suffering in a relationship, sometimes we don't know how to ask for help and what we need, but sometimes we just need our partners to know that they're there, that they're invested in our health, that they want to help us get through it. Like if you, let's say you've been having pelvic floor pain and you go to a physical therapist and they give you like a dilator that you have to use a few times a week to kind of help kind of alleviate some of the pain. Well, as the partner, maybe you could say, hey, you know, want me to sit with you while you do your exercise today, or how are they going, or take an interest in their recovery.
And somehow maybe even make that sexy in a way.
Well, yeah, I was thinking like some mutual masturbation or using the dilator with them.
Yeah, because I would hate to feel alone in this. Like imagine, because you're letting your partner down because you don't want to have sex. You don't want to tell them you're in pain because you might think that's normal or whatever. And then you finally tell them and then your partner's like, oh my God, I don't want to hurt you. Like this, right. Now let's figure it out together.
Exactly. And then, yeah. You're right. Then your partner's like, oh, I don't want you to have pain. So now I feel like having this. I don't want to have the sex.
Yeah. And then you.
The sex.
You could have the sex. I love when you say
it's
that.
It's my new favorite thing. Okay. This one. Okay. The other thing is there was no buildup. This is a big one, you guys. Quickies can be amazing. You know, I get it. But sometimes your partner just wants to be seduced. They want to be kissed. They want to be touched. They want to be romanced and take their clothes off slowly. And sometimes it actually doesn't feel good. We're actually not going to get in the mood if we don't have a buildup. Mm-hmm. So we need it. So maybe, you know, instead of going right for the sex, you can go out for dinner, go dancing, a massage, making out. That can help alleviate, that can help kind of get us in the mood. So how do we react better to this? Okay, so let's say there's no buildup and you need buildup. You can let your partner know that you're not ready for sex yet and it's going to be amazing. You know, you wanted to make out for a minute or you want to slow it down. It's okay to say to your partner, let's just kind of slow this down right now. I'm not ready. Or let's revisit it tomorrow because this escalated and I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on board. I wasn't there. I left the room. If you're getting rejected, take your time. Teasing is fun. Now, this is a new skill you got to learn. Some people just have learned just to rush right through sex. You know, not every time it has to be a whole production, you know, but once in a while, yeah, I believe, you know, taking your time, teasing, finding out what your partner needs for this buildup, for arousal.
Yeah, because even like I can orgasm pretty fast regardless. But even if that's the case, it's so much nicer when you prolong it because then you feel more connected and then you want it even more.
Well, that's the intimacy I think that all of us crave because quick sex is more of like scratching an itch. But if we're really craving a deeper intimacy and connection, that comes from, you know, prolonged arousal and teasing and all that stuff. And actually our orgasms can be a lot more, you know, if that's your focus. Doesn't have to be, but they can even be more intense when we wait. And
yes. Build them. I love it.
All right, guys. So that's how to deal with rejection and with sex so you guys can learn to connect and have deeper intimacy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into your email questions.
Let me tell you about Lioness, the world's most advanced rabbit vibrator and the first sex toy that somehow gives you more information than even I can offer, you know, without actually being inside your brain. Lioness uses built-in sensors and an intuitive mobile app to let you actually visualize your arousal and orgasms. So what does that mean? You just use Lioness like any other vibrator and then you just check the results on your phone. So pretty soon what happens is you're going to understand how your body responds, how you orgasm, and then you can make every climax much stronger and even more enjoyable. How cool is that? Of course, Lioness isn't just about the tech, it's also a killer vibrator. It's made from medical-grade silicone, has the strongest, quietest motor of its size. Lioness was designed by a woman-led team that spent years and years, I've been hearing about it for years and years, so I know it's been years. They spent years developing it just so you can have better orgasms. To learn more about Lioness and your orgasms, head over to sexwithemily.com/lioness. That's sexwithemily.com/LIONESS today. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me on Stars Channel 109 Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there. I love answering your questions. That's why I do what I do. So if you want a question answered on the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, check a yes if you'd like to be called, or call into our show 5 nights a week. You can also email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. Include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. All right, thanks, guys. Okay, producer Jamie, you want to read the emails?
Of course. Okay, this first one comes to us from Zach, 25, in Colorado. Hi, Dr. Emily. My question is, ever since my wife had our daughter 2 years ago, she really doesn't like nipple play. She says it reminds her of breastfeeding. Is there any way I can get her to like the feeling of sucking on them / touching them again? That was a big part of our foreplay, and I wish I could get her to enjoy it again. Thanks for any tips.
All right, Zach, thanks for your question. So here's the deal. When women give birth, when we age, move through the decades, our bodies change, and so does our hormones, our desires, what we like in the bedroom, the frequency of sex. There's a lot of things that are going to change. So while your wife might not have the same exact feelings about you, you know, with nipple play, I don't think that she's completely, I'm fairly confident she can get back to a place of enjoying sensation. So it's more like she got a new pattern. She like is associating nipple play with with breastfeeding. So now we got to get her to kind of rediscover the sensitivity of her nipples again. So I would say, let her know. You can talk to her outside the bedroom and just say, you know what? I love watching you be a mom. I love our sex life, all the things that are great. And then say, and I really miss playing with your nipples. I would love just to slow down. Kind of like I always tell Jamie, like, take sex off the table when things get, like, sometimes you don't, if intercourse is a problem, you kind of want to bring back massage. Well, I think with her, you could say, I just want to lightly start to massage your breasts. I want to start like massaging the sides of them. It feels really good. Like give them,
it does.
Explore her breasts in a bunch of different areas that are not the nipples. So it's kind of like a tease, like when you're teasing your thighs and you're playing with your inner thighs. So now, because I've just discovered in recent years how great it feels when someone, I'm showing Jamie right now, like massaging the top of my breast or the side of them. And then you tease it, maybe use a light touch, and then you go back to the nipples. And if she, you can totally build, if she can build up, if you can take it slow and she can start to kind of rediscover all those nerve ending sensations, I think she's going to get that feeling back and she's going to learn to love the nipple feeling again. Now, if she doesn't, like if for whatever reason she can't get there, I'm sure you guys can find some other ways to play in bed.
Yeah, and I love what you're saying about just not touching the nipples and the breast as a whole, because I also do feel like sometimes the whole breast gets ignored.
It does.
But that it does feel good. I love a good tit massage. Yeah, it's nice.
It's so nice. I love every kind of massage, and that one in particular.
Yes.
It's like we hold tension in there. We're wearing bras all day.
I know.
We deserve a massage every single night once we get the goddamn bra off.
I would love just to have like a bra that felt holding. Like hands. If, what if you had a bra that just felt like hands? It would be so comforting. It'd be like a hug all day.
Oh my God, you could hug all day. That's right. And maybe it has a little like soft velvet or something. Maybe it vibrates every once in a while. It's like, hello. Maybe it's like a lift up.
All the ideas we come up with on this podcast are great.
Oh, man. I just made me really want to get a breast massage now. Like, I really want to ask a partner to do it. You could use massage oil. They could use, like, the Woo More Play coconut oil.
Yeah, what are they going to say? No?
Exactly. And if they say no, then we have zero left words to say to each other.
Be like, oh, okay. There's the door.
There's the door. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, this next one comes to us from Jordan, female, 25 in Wisconsin. All right. Dr. Emily, my boyfriend and I are big fans. We always listen and agree on your great tips. We've been together for 3 years now, but somehow I still don't feel confident with our sex life. I want to surprise him more and keep it alive. So what are some good tips to get myself a little more comfortable to introduce toys and lingerie to our love life? I really want to feel more confident and sexy. I was in a relationship a few years ago that was emotionally and physically abusive, and sex was a joke. When I tried to be sexy, it was hilarious to him, and I'm so afraid of being turned away or laughed at.
Okay, Jordan, thanks for your email. And I love hearing, we love hearing around here that couples are listening together.
Oh, yeah.
And learning, growing from the show. Definitely. That makes me, like, that gives me, like, a that's why I'm alive feeling. So thank you for sharing that. A lot of couples do have success in listening. So, Jordan, you seem, like, super evolved and, like, you're doing the work here. You understand that your last relationship wasn't healthy and perhaps that is having an impact on you and your confidence in the bedroom. So while it's not great to go through things and, you know, past relationships, when we learn from them, like that's where the magic happens. So especially when people make comments and they don't make you feel great about yourself. So I would say that some of this is going to be a you thing to do, that trying on the lingerie or something. I think like lingerie is amazing, but if you have like something that makes you feel sexy and you could kind of practice in your bedroom, how I've done this, like I've gotten sexy lingerie and like a little robey thing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to boyfriend's house. I'm going to like look how I look in the mirror. Like, this is how I want to move. This is who I am. And like, I could go, oh God, my thighs look weird or my left boob's bigger than my right boob. But instead, I had got myself into the mindset of like, I'm going to look how I look as like this sexy goddess in the mirror. That's who I am. And then that is what helps. That's part of it. And even if you just get to the point of like, I look okay, that just to see how you look and practice confidence. That's the part you got to do on your own. You know, I'm a big fan of us working on our sex lives together with our partner, because sometimes one partner's carrying the whole burden of having to fix it. But this part, the self-confidence part, starts with you. But then also what you guys could do together is check out the yes, no, maybe list on our site. You could download it, yes, no, maybe. And then you guys could sit there together and you could each fill it out and figure out, hey, what feels good to me? What feels good to you? Are we both into spanking? Are we into dressing up? Are we into trying different things? And it gives you all these options. Maybe it's breast play, you know, all. And then you check and then you compare after. You're like, yes, I'm yeses on here. I'm noes on here. We're maybes. Okay, so once you guys do that, then you have a blueprint. You kind of have a roadmap to think, okay, well, we are both into, we both want to receive sensual massages. So then the surprise comes in where you set it up one night. Maybe he comes home and you have it, you give him a blindfold, you lay him down on the bed, you have some massage candles lit, and then you start to do some of the things that you learned that you both like. And there's something very empowering about taking charge of that. So for example, if you give him a blindfold and then you put on your sexy outfit and you tease him and you use like play with different parts of his body, he's not going to know what comes next. It's a very exciting way to spice it up and play together.
I love that you brought up the blindfold because that might make it easier for her to bring in the lingerie because maybe the first time he doesn't take the blindfold off. So she's just getting used to the sex and the playfulness in the lingerie without him actually having to see her.
Exactly.
And then the next time.
That's great.
You can take it off.
Right. Because then you're in the vicinity of
sex. Yes.
And you might just feel so sexy that you can't help it. Take the blindfold off.
Exactly.
If that happens, we're happy. All right. Thanks for email. We appreciate you, Jordan.
This next one is Cassie 34 from New Mexico. Dear Dr. Emily, my husband and I respond to stress very differently. My body responds to stress by shutting down. I want to snuggle, watch TV, and sleep. His body responds to stress by yearning for sexual intimacy to relieve it. Because both of our jobs deal with the well-being of other people, we're often stressed, and typically at the same time. Add kids to the mix and forget about it. How can we help each other in these times when we have polar opposite reactions?
All right, Cassie, thanks for your email. Just so you know, this is a very common struggle that a lot of couples are facing right now. We're all running around so goddamn stressed out. It is hard to connect. It actually can really destroy our sex life. So it sounds like you both just need to take some time to de-stress, get out of your comfort zones there at home, and maybe like take a trip together, take a day off, get a babysitter, rent a hotel room for a night. You would be amazed at what a change of location for even a night can do for a reset. Like, so you can reconnect when it's not as stressed. And do you make time, and I understand having kids, and also this is just a time when you have young kids and you have jobs and you're working, it is just a struggle for several years. But if you can think about it, okay, well, when are we the least stressed? Now, this is going to take a little effort, but I think it's worth it. So maybe it's setting the alarm for 15 minutes earlier in the morning because you're like, you know what? If we have 15 minutes for intimacy to connect in the morning, then we'll both feel connected as we go about our day. Or maybe it's Saturday mornings and the kids are all off doing something or you have a babysitter or you go somewhere because this is like as important as your workouts. It's important to go to the kids' games. It's important as everything else, family dinner. Your time to de-stress and then to connect with each other and have sex is actually a priority. So if you put it in the schedule and you say, this is the times we're going to have sex, this is the time we're going to be intimate, so you guys can kind of know that that's going to happen and look forward to it and make sure you're in the right headspace, I really think that would be a solution and could help you both.
So this next one is from Josh, who is 43 in Colorado. Hello, Dr. Emily. Big fan. I was in a 15-year marriage that ended, and I'm now on dating apps mostly, but what I experience is this. The women I'm interested in want a long-term relationship, and I'm not saying that I don't, but I'm also not saying that I do. The women who want to just date, I'm usually not interested. I feel bad on dates if women are looking to be married or at least monogamous, and I can't say that is what I want, but it's not that I don't want it. I know it's what I want with the right person, but how do you handle this? What if you love dating someone, but you don't want to marry them, but in the beginning, they communicate that they do? It's like everyone is jumping from first date to joint bank account. I want to see more than one person a while and then maybe get exclusive, and then we will see. It's like a 3-year process, and the women I date, who I find wonderful, hot, and amazing, want to be married yesterday. So what does one do?
All right, thanks, Josh, for your question, and it's good to hear from you. So, okay. This makes sense. You're married for 15 years and you're back on the apps. And a lot of women, they are looking for long-term commitments. They are looking for marriage, as are a lot of men. But you can let someone know that you'd like to date casually and that that's what you're looking for right now. You can be totally honest. I just got out of a marriage. I'm kind of figuring out what my next steps are. I'm looking to spend some time with a few people. And, you know, eventually maybe you'd want to be in a longer-term relationship, but right now you don't want to jump in right away. You can let them know that. I agree with you that it does take time. and I sort of date more like you do, I feel like how should we know after a few dates if this is someone we want to move forward with and have a relationship? I think that if you are dating a few people at once and you're really honest about it to everybody and to yourself, then you get to kind of see, well, what's out there? Who am I now? Who is Josh as a 43-year-old man who got out of a 15-year marriage? You might not know what kind of woman you're looking for, what kind of relationship you want. So there's nothing wrong with you wanting this, but I think the big thing here is communication, being upfront on the app, say you're not looking for something serious and you are open to whatever happens. Just let it know, let them know, put it out there so everyone's on the same page. All right, guys, Business with Emily. Find me Monday through Friday on Sirius XM Radio, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, on channel Stars 109. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can also call in during those hours, 888-947-8277. If you like the show, find us, rate us 5 stars wherever you listen. We love that. Give us a review on iTunes. Any questions, suggestions, feedback at sexwithemily.com. Thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. So how often has this happened to you? You just got done with a sweaty, hot round of sex, and now you gotta clean up. So what do you use? Like, where do you go? Especially if it's really messy, drippy. I mean, you know what happens. Well, that's where Freshies come in. So my good friends, Lauren, Michael, and Weston at Woo More Play, you know them. I've been telling you about their coconut love oil for months because I'm obsessed with it. Well, they created Freshies. They're all natural, pre-moistened towelettes made with organic ingredients like aloe vera extract, cranberry, vanilla water, and coconut water. And of course, they're pH balanced, free of alcohol, parabens, dyes, and they're hypoallergenic. So you're also going to love the packaging. I mean, Freshies wipes are individually wrapped and come in a little package that look like an old school cigarette box with a flip top. It's just so cool. Each box has 10 wipes that you can keep in your purse, your car, your gym bag, wherever. And the directions on the box are everything. It just says directions. If you have to ask, you probably don't have a vagina. Brilliant. Trust me, you want these. To find Freshies from Woo More Play, just go to sexwithemily.com/woo. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/WOO, and use code Emily for a special discount. Get dirty, get clean, and repeat.